It's time for you to feel better. Put someone or something on the list, and if you do a good job at it, we'll send you to Kid Rock, the American Rock and Roll Tour at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, January 19th. So next Friday, you'll win a pair of tickets to Kid Rock. But you got to bring it. Who or what is on your list? We do this every Friday at noon. Willie, do you want to start or you want me to start?
I got one.
Okay.
I'm getting tired of the replays at the end of basketball games on every ball that is tipped out of bounds on a rebound. We've got to look at this. We've got to get this out of there. There are things that a referee, and Jeff Van Gundy said it very well on a recent broadcast I watched, but I saw this in the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game the other night. It was ridiculous at the end of the game how long it took for a couple of replays. One in particular delayed the game way too long, way too long. And I know this, we got to get it right stuff, but sometimes we're going too far. And in basketball, when a ball comes off the rim and you and I go up for it, Darren, and let's say I have inside position, you kind of go over my back. You kind of go over my back a little bit. We both hit it, and it goes out of bounds. Who to go off of? The referee has been trained over the years to say, okay, Willie had position. Darren went over his back. They both hit it. I'm giving it to Willie's team because I could call a foul on Darren for over the back, but I don't want to do that. I want to let him play. They both battled for it. It went out of bounds. I'm not 100% sure who went off of, but I'm giving it to Willie's team. He had position, and Darren made a little bit of contact. It goes out of bounds. Willie's ball. End of story. Keep going on the game. But now, late in the game, now the referee makes a call. He does exactly what I just said, which is what he should. A good referee does that. But now we got to go look at it. So who did it go off of? Well, let's take a look. Well, let's look at this angle. Well, let's look at this angle. The delay's going. The clock's running. The crowd's going, come on, man. This is a tie game with 2 minutes to go. Or it's a four-point game, whatever the situation is. Let's get on with it. And you look at the replay four times. You can't tell. You cannot tell just as many times as you can tell. Throw that whole thing out and let's just play. Let's just play. Or have a challenge system where each team has a challenge if it's obvious. It's very simple, but get rid of this system. It is ridiculous. Because there was a play the other day, and yeah, I'm looking at it through a Vanderbilt prism. It wouldn't have affected the game. Tennessee was going to win the game. But Vanderbilt has closed within, I think, six. So you never know. There's about a minute to go. Exactly that scenario happens. They don't call a foul over the back for Tennessee. The referee does a great job. The Tennessee guy goes over the Vanderbilt guy's back. There's a little bit of contact. They both hit it. It bounces around. The guy goes, Vanderbilt ball. Perfect call. That's what nobody on Tennessee complains. But they go back and look at it, and they look at it, and they look at it, and they determine that it actually went off the Vanderbilt guy. Well, the referee should be able to say, well, then I'm going to call over the back on Williams for Tennessee because he went over the guy's back. But you can't do that. Everything was okay until we got into this whole rabbit hole of replay on the balls tipped out of bounds. So, people, rules makers, right now, until we get this fixed.
You just made the list.
It is interesting that basketball, as much as we've talked about officiating in football, the basketball seems to be more of the centerpiece right now of controversy.
It's messed up. It's messed up.
College and especially the NBA.
The NBA, it's
awful. Have you seen how bad the relationship is right now with the players and the refs? It's bad. It's really bad.
Yep. I mean,
they are not afraid.
And some of it you can't avoid, but this replay thing is an extra thing that doesn't need to happen.
It's like every night I feel like a player comes out and just bashes an official in the NBA.
Have one challenge a game for each team on a situation like that where you thought it went off the other guy and the referee missed it. That's going to happen. Have one challenge, but that's it. You can't be looking at every single one, especially in the last minute or two where the game's on the line.
Okay, I'm going to go along the same lines. Willie, thank
really?
You. It's going to be a nice little segue.
Okay.
And I'm going to, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go over to West End. And I'm going to have to go to Memorial Gym. Look, we have talked many times. Vanderbilt needs to think a little bit more outside the box. Need to get a little bit more aggressive with their marketing and promotions. And we've talked about that for years and years and years, right?
Right.
So I always like the fact that they're trying things and they want to do things. But here's one I don't understand. You're going to have to help me with this. So Tuesday night, they have an 8 o'clock tip at Memorial Gym. They're playing their big rival, one of their big rivals in basketball, in Tennessee, in-state rival. Okay, it's going to be shown on ESPN. Let's do something around that. Okay, great. Let's do a whiteout. So we want our fans to wear white. Well, there are two games at Memorial Gym every year that will bring in lots of the opposition. One was on Tuesday night. The other will be tomorrow afternoon. Tennessee, Kentucky. Their fans will be in the building. They always are. Thousands. If you do a whiteout with thousands of Tennessee fans who typically do not need to be told to wear orange, they will wear orange.
Yes.
You now have a situation at your basketball game, at your home basketball game, in which it's a white and orange game. Do you want white and orange at your home
game? As your predominant colors,
playing
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Yeah. Is that a good idea?
It's not the best look.
Or maybe a blackout. Or a gold out.
A gold out.
How about that? How about do something that doesn't look like Tennessee's colors? You look ridiculous.
Yeah, if you can white out the whole building, the white out is awesome.
Here's an idea. If you want to do something like that again for tomorrow, don't do a white out. Because Kentucky fans, see, this is how it works. They will come into the building wearing blue. So now you will have white and blue in your building.
So white out for a game against Georgia.
If you
gold wanna, out against
if
Kentucky.
If you want to do a white out, make sure you do not do it around a Kentucky or a Tennessee game. You will look ridiculous doing it.
Unless you have all the seats covered in your fans, right?
Well, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen against
Tennessee
and Kentucky.
Will have thousands of their fans in the building.
Do a gold out. It's unique.
Just do a gold out. You cannot do a white out against Kentucky and Tennessee. It looks ridiculous. It's at your home gym, and the colors are all the opposition. It's silly.
Well, they're not the colors of the opposition because everybody's got white. But your point is well taken. It makes the orange stand out.
If you see checkerboard at Tennessee, what are the colors?
I got you.
Orange. And orange.
I got you. I read you.
Okay.
It's a good point.
All right.
I want to defend my people.
So as much can you defend this?
I can't defend it.
Can you defend this?
Not this time.
As much as I want them to think outside the box, as much as I want them to
do promotions. It's a good effort. The effort's there.
Do something. That's good. They're not sitting on their hands. That's good. But when you play Kentucky, like you do tomorrow, when you play Tennessee, like you did on Tuesday, at home, do not, Vanderbilt, do a whiteout. So Vanderbilt.
You just made the list.
Yes. Can't do that. You cannot do that. It looks bad. Chase, do you have one?
I do, but pretty sure you have a second one.
So you want me to go there?
Oh, I want you to go there.
Well, you don't
want to
take your turn, Chase?
Wow. I can take my turn, and then Darren can do his.
Okay.
Mine.
Oh, so do you want me to do this now?
No, go ahead. Yeah, do it.
Okay, I'll do this real quick. If you at your workplace, and I would say most fall into this category, if you have, let's say, for example, in your break room, if you have a community refrigerator, or maybe in a cubicle situation or in a particular office place where people are around each other in rooms. You may have kind of a mini fridge. You may have a big fridge in a community kitchen, in a break room for everybody. You may have a mini fridge in a much more condensed area, just amongst certain amount of workers. If you have that situation, be mindful of who's got what in the refrigerator. Because if something isn't yours, it's not a good idea, especially in a mini fridge situation, which means there's very few people attached to that refrigerator. Be aware of what you're taking, whether it's a water or a soda or whatever else is in there. Everybody, if you've got two or three or four people sharing a little mini fridge, then make sure you know exactly what you're taking out of there. Don't take somebody else's water. So since we like to name names and we've asked people to name names.
It's an option.
But I'm
It's not a requirement.
Because this
we just give you the option of naming
names.
This
just happened. I stock the mini fridge with things that I have to drink during the course of this 4-hour show every day. Water and maybe a soda. It's every day. Every single day. And yesterday I came in. My water was gone. My water was gone. But yet it was still in the refrigerator, moved, with 3/4 of it gone. And I figured out who did it. So, with that being said, Ryan Porth.
You just made the list.
Ah. He drank my water.
I have to say.
And had lame excuses, too.
Had lame excuses.
But you tried to give him the business. You had him cornered.
I did, and he could not wiggle out. He was pinned.
Why did he think he was taken? How did he not know it was? He thought it was just community water? He thought it was he thought it was his water?
He
got it confused with his water?
He got confused, which the brands are totally different.
Different brand?
Totally.
And he still got confused?
Totally different brands.
That's a violation.
But he was confused.
That's a violation.
Like, what were you confused at? What? Do you need glasses? Do you need to read the labels? He had no answers.
That's a shame.
I don't know. Chase?
All right. You want me to name names? I'm going to name names.
Oh, I like today. Today's spunky.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm from Bellevue, from the west side. And for as long as I can remember, up on the hill on Old Hickory Boulevard, we had the Sam's Club. Could go to the Sam's Club everything.
I've read this story.
Yeah. My dad had a restaurant in Bellevue. How many times did he send me to the Sam's Club to get supplies over the years? The time. And it was always reliable. Go to Sam's. Had the free samples. Always loved that. I mean, you could eat a meal at the Sam's Club.
A meal full of samples.
Well, yesterday, my mom sends me a text. She says she gets to the Sam's Club.
Gone.
There's a sign on the door. Says it's closed. Now, they reopened today, apparently, because they got to get rid of everything. But they are closing.
They
are closing the Sam's Club.
So you're saying there might be a lot of samples.
You're saying everything must go.
Everything, all the samples, they got to go.
The samples are going to be plenty.
But the Sam's, I mean, that's a go-to spot because you get everything in bulk.
What I read is they closed many throughout the country.
Yeah.
60.
65,
I think. Yeah, something like that.
And it's because they raised their hourly wage. That's what they're saying.
For Walmart.
To $11. Walmart. To $11 an hour.
Right, because they're partners.
So the one in Bellevue closed. Just closed.
It is closing. Now, I got a report from my mom. She went today. They've reopened. Everything must go. It's a zoo. All that stuff, but they are closing that store. So, Walmart, the parent company of Sam's Club.
You just made the list.
Okay.
Closing my Sam's.
And from everything I've read, nobody had any clue. Like, they just showed up.
No warning.
And it was closed.
It's zapped.
Oof. That's not good. It's a lot of people's jobs. All right, we'll come back. Load them up. Kid Rock tickets on the line. Who or what's on your list? A little bit later this hour, former Titan linebacker Peter Sermon. We'll take your phone calls next on 3D. All right, Willie, we got to get this thing cranking. You just made the list right now. Coming up soon, Peter's sermon. Then we'll have pick six in the final hour. But we got to get this thing rolling.
This is about participation. It's Friday. Yeah, you're probably moving slow. Maybe you're just home. But we need to know who's on your list. Who's on the list? Your list happens in sports, outside of your world of sports. We want to hear your participation. We've got Kid Rock tickets, right? Kid Rock tickets here?
Next Friday.
737-1025. We need participation for this to be successful. Yeah, I know the weather's bad. You may not be wanting to ride along in your car, but maybe you're home. Maybe you're at work. Hit us up. Tell us who's on your list.
Hey, if nobody calls, like, the Bay Bets want to go to Kid Rock. So.
Yeah, we don't want. I mean,
where were you going with that?
These tickets
we
are
don't
set
want
aside
Chase
for
to
our
take
list.
The Bay Bets.
I just wanted to hear him say it.
This is not designed for the Bay Bets. This is designed for the listeners.
737-1025. Let's get this thing going. Let's start with Paul. Paul, who or what is on your list?
Well, I want to start off by admitting that this situation is ultimately on me. It's my fault, but I'm going to blame it. Get the ding ready. I'm going to blame it on Jared Stillman anyways, because that's just fun to do. So Jared Stillman is on my list.
Okay, tell us why. Unfortunately, Chase is on the phone. So
the bell ringer is indisposed.
He cannot hear this.
Oh, man.
I know.
Ding.
Well, we're going to keep you on.
There you go.
Okay. There we go. Thank you.
Hey. All right. So Monday night, I am driving home from the Y and turning on to Jared and the GM and listening, and Jared is talking about Eagles tickets. He's giving away Eagles tickets. He's broadcasting live from Clyde. We've got Eagles tickets. We're giving them away. Now, caller number two. And I immediately stop listening and call. And I get through, and I'm caller number two. I'm excited. Whoever took my call didn't tell me anything about what I want or anything. Just caller number two. I had won Eagles tickets. I was fired up. I get home. My wife was also listening to Jared and the GM, and she was excited and informed me that I had won tickets, not to the Eagles, but to Cyndi Lauper and Rod Stewart.
Okay.
And she's excited to go. I don't think that there's enough beer in the Lexus Lounge to make girls just want to have fun and when a man loves a woman acceptable for 3 hours.
You can make that work, Paul. You can make that work.
Help me with this. How can I make this work?
You're going with your wife, right? First of all, you're going to get huge points
for taking her,
right? You're going to score major points with her, which counts for a lot, actually. Look, there are way worse. Why did you think it was the Eagles?
Oh, he said he was giving away Eagles tickets, and then he said caller number two. Now, that's where I stopped listening, turned the sound down, and called.
Oh, okay.
So that's where it was. He was talking specifically about giving away Eagles tickets and then called for caller number two. Didn't shut it down and say, hey, Rod Stewart, can you offer, which would have negated my phone call.
I know you're a little disappointed, but I honestly think you're still in a good place, Paul. I really do.
Okay.
Make the best of it. Score big with your wife, and I think it could be a magical evening for you. I really do.
Will you be there? Will you be at Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper?
If I score tickets, I'd go. Sure.
Okay. All right.
And you have the Lexus Lounge?
I'm going to have to add on the Lexus Lounge just to be able to,
Hey, Lexus Lounge.
I think that situation calls for Lexus Lounge.
Am I off base, Willie? I mean,
no.
Can you not make this work? Cyndi Lauper, okay. Rod Stewart. I mean, come on. You make
There's
this work.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's good stuff.
All right. You guys have changed my thinking on this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Have a good weekend.
All right,
see you.
But
Chase,
he still put Jared on the
you
list.
Missed about four bells while you were on the phone, so let's go on and make them up.
Hang on. Jared's in here saying it's fake news.
Do what?
No, he admitted that Jared really didn't do anything.
That caller is fake news.
Wait a minute. Put your headset on. Why is it fake news?
Because I was very clear about which tickets I was giving away.
Oh, yeah.
When
he
I
made
was
that
giving
clear.
Away
yeah,
the
he said that.
There was a disclaimer. He said, this is on me. But I think he just wanted the bell.
He still wanted
He wanted the bell.
And we ended up getting about five bells out. We got a five-bell salute.
For those about
six.
To rock.
We salute you.
DW in Hermitage. Who or what is on your list?
Well, fellas, I have to put all the local weather men and women on my list today.
Thank you, DW.
For getting everybody all gassed up. Caused chaos in the grocery store last night. I stay home from work. Got my son here, so got the sled all waxed up, ready to go. Not a snowflake in sight.
Well, there's still time. There's still time.
Holding out hope, but I just don't think it's going to happen. So for all the local weather people out there, you just made the list.
DW, I'm with you. Thank you for the phone call. Right now, that's a good call. I got to be honest. I really flirted with this one. I did, and I'm glad that he brought it up. Flipping through, it's not, by the way, it's not just the meteorologists. It's not just the weather, just local news. Like, they were going wall to wall with this stuff. I mean, I'm flipping around last night in the 10 o'clock news. They're interviewing this sweet, you know, sweet little lady out in the parking lot. What did you get at the grocery store? Well, I got some potatoes and some bread and some wine. Really? That's like, honestly, that is market 150 news. That is.
I know.
It's like we're Nashville.
Come on.
Do you really need to go hang out in grocery store parking lots and interview people? What did you get for the big one that's coming?
Right.
What did you buy? That's market 150.
And don't have
Come
the person
on.
This is another one that gets me. Don't have the person on the news that says, when you're driving in the tough conditions and the roads are kind of icy, don't be on your phone. Okay, thanks.
Is it
just
for
news?
Tough? And
this
right,
is
how
news.
About never be on your phone at all when it's sunny,
right?
When it's rainy, when it's snowy, or it's icy. How about that? I'm with DW. It did. I kind of got sick of it last night. I'm like, really? What market are we in? You have to go around. I'm going wall to wall with this stuff. It was like nothing else was happening but the weather. That's all they could do. And it wasn't just the weather, people. That was their newscast.
But the weather wasn't happening last night.
Like I said, that's like market
150. It was the anticipation of the weather.
Going to grocery stores and hanging out in the parking lot. What did you buy? Well, I got some potato chips. Got some rolls. Some milk. Some water. I got a loaf of bread.
But
that's what I was thinking. When's the last time we were stranded and we almost died from, you know, not being able to, you know, hydrate or eat? When's the last time anybody in Nashville's had that experience? Huh? Or like you almost didn't make it because you didn't have food and water. When's the last time? Let's hear that story. Right? Like, it's so silly.
I can't answer that.
Because you know it's silly. That's why DW was right. Terry in Summertown. Terry, who or what is on your list?
Mine's going to go back to football and the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
And how you can have number one picks over and over and number twos. You can have 20 coaches in 10 years, and yet you still cannot manage to win 1 to 2 games a year.
So you'd like to put the whole organization on the list?
Yes, I mean, it's got to start from the top and be down that you can make that many bad picks over so many years and still be at the point you cannot even compete at a 500 level.
It's hard to argue that, Terry. Thank you for the phone call. I mean, how could you not say that about the Browns? They have been one of the worst, if not the worst, franchise in professional sports. I would say right now, Browns, Knicks, worst franchises in sports. Is that fair to say?
I'd agree with that. Browns, definitely, number one.
I mean, the Knicks are dysfunctional, too.
Yeah, but they've won a little bit more.
Not really.
Not much.
Not really.
They
but
haven't won anything. I mean, yeah, they're not losing. They're not winning 8 games a year.
Yeah.
But they also play a whole lot more.
They're actually better this year.
They're
starting to win.
We got their, you know, Porzingis saying he's tired. He's 22 years old. That went over well. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Bill, who or what is on your list?
Well, right now, obviously, it's going to be the weather today, but it is a beautiful day in Middle Tennessee. Woke up this morning listening to, he got last second caller before mine, took my wind away. The weather people, hey, if we get it, we get it. If we don't, we don't. But I got up this morning, told my wife I was going to drive her to work, which is 2.5 miles down the road, so that I could go down and pick her up in the four-wheel drive this evening if we needed to. And, of course, she did not want me to do it. So I ended up taking her to work, getting that sour face, and I ended up going to Kroger and sitting up there and trying to find me a loaf of bread and some beer. Guys, I'm going to sit back and listen to you. Y'all have a good night and be safe.
See, he's got it right. You got to go get some beer.
So was his wife mad because she didn't want to, him to, put Bill to put their lives in danger, or was she mad that he was actually making her go to work? Which one was it?
Good question. I don't know.
Because he said he got the stink eye, right? He got the sour face. Like, really? You're going to take
me to
work?
Question.
You're going to really take me to work?
But see, what happens if he doesn't? If he says, okay, drive yourself, and then she gets stranded, and then he's got to go get her anyway.
Yeah, I think Bill had the right intentions, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like he was being a good guy.
Yeah. Let's go to Justin in Lebanon. Justin, who or what is on your list?
The previous caller, Paul, is on my list.
Okay.
Do not call into the radio station where they graciously let you win tickets because you were the right caller and come back in and complain about said tickets. Just enjoy the night they gave you with your wife and don't call in and complain.
Okay. I think that's fair. Thank you, Justin.
Appreciate it.
I think that's what we were trying to talk him, out of it, or just say, hey, think of it on the positive side. You did okay. You're going to that show for free. You get to go take your wife, who's excited about it. Is that really bad?
I love Chase's story from one of these in the past. Chase, imitate the guy that you're giving free tickets to, and then they have questions. They have questions for you.
Hey, where are the seats? Where are these tickets? I don't know. Well, hey, could you find out for me? No, they're free. I can't. Like, I have no idea where they are.
And then they find out, oh, well, it's in the 300 level.
Oh, okay. I don't want those.
Yeah. See, your friend goes, eh.
Which I'll say this. Most of our tickets.
I'm giving you free tickets.
Are usually.
It's a sold out show.
Right. Fantastic seats. Right?
Yeah.
Most of the stuff we give away, they're great.
And they're free.
Right. But that's the main thing. They're free. You're in the building. You're there. And it didn't cost you anything. But I'll defend Paul a little bit. He did kind of fall on the sword right out of the gates.
He like did. He said, this is on me.
Yeah, this is kind of on me.
And I think we brightened his outlook.
Do you think so?
I think we did.
Or was he just saying that?
No, I think we brightened.
Do you think he hung up the phone and said, you know what? They're right.
I think he's going to upgrade to the Lexus Lounge. They're going to go down there. They're going to have a great time.
They're going
to
make a date.
And then he's
going to
call our show back, and he's going to thank us.
Yeah. Say, man, the marriage couldn't be any better.
And then he's got to thank Jared because he won it on Jared's show.
Ooh. Will that happen, you think?
We'll see.
Marty, who or what is on your list?
The national sports media, television and radio, who cannot, after all these years, pronounce the word Mariota. Now, maybe I'm just a little bit sensitive because my name's Marty, but it ain't that hard. Marcus Mariota. Am I wrong?
Fair point.
It is true. It's true.
Even Gruden struggled.
This is his third year.
He
in the league.
He struggled Saturday night. Did you
first
catch
year? First year, we'll give you a little.
Right. This is year three.
No, not like he wasn't a star in Oregon. I mean, the guy didn't just come on the scene. Come on.
Here's another one. How is it that they haven't figured out now it's not his third year, it's just his second year in, Kevin Byard? Why do they keep saying Kevin Byard? It's not Byard. It's Kevin Byard.
Do they have charts for that or something? I don't know. They need phonics.
No, they're supposed to actually talk to people and get the correct pronunciation. Willie, you know this. You talk to people and you're supposed to get
I do wonder
the
where
correct
the
way.
Byard.
Like, I hear that all the time. Nice play by Byard. What? It's not Byard. Thank you, Marty.
Thanks, guys.
That's a really good one, by the way. They're still
Mariota, yeah.
Mariota in year three.
Well, in Roger Goodell, you know, the soundbite will be ruined forever when Mariota was drafted.
At least that is on draft day. Okay. Maybe a pass on draft day?
No, I don't give it a pass. No, because he was a big star. He played in a national championship game for the University of Oregon. I mean, he was a big star in college, and you're the commissioner of the NFL.
Yeah, that was bad.
You got to get this right.
And plus, he didn't say Mariota. He said
Mariotto.
Yeah, he just
Mariotto.
Said Mr. Roboto.
Also, circling back to a recent, you just made the list. We have now hit the date, Darren, that I set out there. It's now January. What is today? The 11th? 12th? But we said January 10th was the cutoff. And at least in my neighborhood, we still got a lot of people with the Christmas lights.
Oh, we're cleaned up. We're good. We're buttoned up in mine.
Your neighborhood?
Yep.
Good for you guys.
And we're buttoned up.
We got issues in our neighborhood. We've got
really?
A lot of people.
Yeah. Still?
A lot of lights all around the neighborhood.
A lot of lights.
On the east side.
On the west 12th?
Side. A lot on the west 12th? Side, too? A
lot on the west side.
Yeah. People.
Really?
It's time. Take the lights. Take the lights.
You gotta
down.
Take them down. Like now, now
you're that guy. You're, now,
we're, right? We're all gonna
now
be stranded.
You're that guy.
This weekend we're gonna be stranded. Right? Nobody's gonna be able to leave their house. So you gotta take the stuff down. Take it down. Put it away. And you can't say, "Well, it's cold outside." Actually, it's not as cold as it's been.
Do you think there are people that decide, "Hey, as long as I don't have Santa and a reindeer up here, I keep the lights on for a while. I like having the lights up." You think there are people that do that?
I think so.
Is that okay? If that's the angle?
I see both sides. I enjoy them, but I also understand, like, okay, like it's time.
But there's still some people in our neighborhood that have the Christmas stuff. It's not just lights. It's lights with Christmas stuff.
I'll put it to you this way. There are people, because we have a neighborhood Facebook page, they're much more upset over it than me. Like, it bothers some people, like really bothers them. Like, take them down.
Why don't they just go over there?
Why, by their tone on their post, I'm surprised they haven't. It's like, okay, it's not that. Like, it doesn't bother me like that.
Not that much.
No, it doesn't bother me anywhere
near. Not enough to really.
Like, I get it. Like, okay, now. But, you know, it doesn't bother me like that because I
still enjoy it. No, I just find it amusing. I'm not bothered by it. I just am amused by it.
Because most of the time, they're all nice. You know, it's really nice. It's well done. So I enjoy it. At night, like it's you know, that's a good house, very nice. So I don't get, you know, it doesn't bother me. But some people, man, I read a couple posts. I was like, man, he's up, pal. Let's bring it down a notch. All right, we'll come back. Okay. Peter Sermon, former Titans linebacker, now Louisville Cardinals defensive coordinator. Peter Sermon joins us next on 3D 102.5 The Game. We had Floyd Reese on the show earlier today. He drafted our next guest. Back here on 3D, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. We used to actually serve as security for our next guest when he had his player show, when he was the Titans linebacker. The Peter Sermon show live at the Opryland Hotel. There was a long line of people trying to get to Peter. Willie and I served as security. Peter, I don't know if you remember those days, but welcome.
I think you might be a little bit mistaken, too. I don't remember the long autograph lines there.
You don't remember that?
I never remember you doing a gosh darn thing for security.
Probably all true.
Yes.
I'm sure you remember the show, though.
I do remember the show.
So what's going on? What's new and exciting in your world as you guys wrapped up your bowl game?
Well, right now we're back into contact period for recruiting. We just came out of the coaches convention, and we actually have some kids on campus for official visits. They're the kids and their parents. So we're right in the middle of kind of going back and forth between that.
Everybody had to experience the early signing period for the first time together. Now that you've gone through it, what did you think?
You know, I think it's going to be a good deal for everybody. The issues that's going to arise is when young guys sign with coaches and then there's turnover at the head coaching position. That's going to, this time, but that's going to be, I think, the hiccup in it. But I think it's a good thing. Right now, in years past, it's been babysitting. The month of January, the kids are committed, and it's kind of the last barrage of coaches coming in and trying to flip kids. And right now, with you know most of our kids signed, and I think most across America, a lot of those kids signed. Now it's about them just going back to school, not getting pulled out of class anymore, and us starting to work really on the 2019s and 2020s.
Is it helping, Peter, now that you've been doing this for a while past your playing days, is it helping? I feel like more and more kids are arriving on campus earlier. You know, they're not waiting until the summer. They're arriving early. Is that help in their progression?
It does. It does. You know, it's I don't know if there's a huge physical difference in those 6 months, but, you know, I can say from experience and then just being around it, when you're a 17, 18-year-old kid and you get pushed into a new environment that challenges you, you exhibit a lot of growth just mentally and kind of the competitive side of watching, guys have been doing it for several years. You start to emulate them, and I think that's where you see a lot of the development. But, you know, I think in the last 10, 15 years, with the advent of a lot more 7-on-7 and year-round training, the skill level of kids coming into college is better than, you know, for instance, when I came to college. You're seeing better guys. You're seeing guys that can throw the ball, catch the ball, a lot better than in the past.
Former Titans linebacker, now Louisville's defensive coordinator, Peter Sermon, on the line with us. We've had a lot of fun this week with some of your teammates. The last time the Titans played the Patriots in the playoffs, we've had some good stories. Rocky Boyman told us he was doing a lot of special teams back then. He was sitting in the heated seats and had his feet in the warmers, and he got stuck when they called for special teams, and he face planted when he tried to get out of there. We had Drew Bennett tell us that his friends still rag him about the drop pass. They still get on him today about that. They call it the New England drop. So we've had fun with that. What do you remember about that cold night?
Boy, you know, there's a lot. I mean, obviously the game was a very, very competitive game. I think we took him into the fourth quarter. I think we were all tied up. But the weather made it, you know, a unique one for me. I can remember within a series I had my mouthpiece in, and there was a small break in play. And I, you know, when your mouthpiece isn't in, it's stuck, you know, somewhere in your face mask. To hold it, and I put it back in, and it wouldn't go in my mouth. I remember trying to put my teeth into it, and I thought, what happened to my face? And then I realized that my spit had frozen into my grooves of my teeth, and my teeth weren't going to be able to fit into that mouthpiece anymore. So it got pretty cold pretty quickly.
Peter, I remember you telling me, too, or telling this on the air, too, that the TV timeouts were normally, you know, there's a little socializing, your chatter, you know, it's okay. It's part of the game. It seemed long, right? Those TV time. It's like, let's go, man. Let's get back so I can start moving around again.
Yeah, and then everyone was, you know, hovering around the heaters like moths to a flame.
So we've been talking this week, and now you had to prepare this way. The delicate balance of when's the right time to get after Tom Brady and not, because you know you have to apply pressure, but you can't. You know, you just can't be blitzing and just bringing the house because he'll burn you. How difficult, when you guys talked about it that week leading up to the game, how did you guys approach it?
You know, it was always hard to get after. It was hard to get after a couple guys in the AFC at that time, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. You know, it wasn't like, you know, new looks were going to confuse them. They had such a wealth of talent, but then, you know, so much experience as well that, even when you pressure them, they know the pressure's coming. It's just a matter of they can execute and you know, throw the ball in some tight windows. So I imagine the weather will have something to do with it. You know, and then, you know, now looking at it from a coaching point of view, a lot of it has to do with how the game's being played. Is the game going to be wide open? Is it going to be a competitive one possession game that, you know, both defenses can get some stops? And the more stops you get, you know, and the tighter that game gets, is going to affect how the defenses go after each other.
Peter, if you got a guy like that, and it's Brady, and you know that, you know, you're not going to fool him very often. What if you can't just simply get the pressure with your front four? Because that's the easy answer. Well, just get pressure with the front four. But if you're not confident you can do that, Is it better to gamble and send extra people, or are you better off just saying, you know, we'll have to let them sit back there? We need our seven guys, our eight guys back there in coverage.
Well, I mean, defensively, theoretically, you should always be able to win if you plus one them. If you send more than they can handle with a quarterback and you go to zero coverage, I would have a hard time in the NFL doing that too often or too frequently. I mean, the playoff teams that are going to win, you know, if you bring five and you have five one-on-ones, you know, that's where teams are going to win and lose. That, you know, the teams that have the one-on-ones are going to win more often than they lose. And defensively, to bring six versus Tom Brady on a second and eight, I just don't know if you can survive doing that. Bringing five and playing post defense and playing man and being competitive with your one-on-ones up front and winning matchups on the perimeter, you know, that's what good teams do. So to say that you got to bring plus one, you know, is probably playing into the hands of they're so much better than we are that we don't have a chance, and I would doubt the Titans going like that.
You being a linebacker, you know something about covering tight ends. When you see a guy like Gronk, who's just, you know, a freak of nature, who is so athletic and so big, how tough a challenge is that for anybody that's trying to cover him, but especially a linebacker?
It's really hard. You know, linebackers have a little bit different leverage. It's easier for safeties to cover those guys because they come down from the top, and you can mess around with the leverage a little bit because so much of those tight end routes are based on the leverage, what the tight end sees and what the quarterback sees, that as an inside linebacker, really most, you know, 80% of the time your leverage is already going to be determined before the ball is snapped, and the quarterback can see it and the tight end can see it. You know, it's for him, and to stop it, you know, you have to have somebody that can physically match up with it. And even at that point, good quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady can throw Gronk open. So it's going to come back. It's going to come back down to guys winning one-on-ones. You're not going to be able to double a tight end very often. And it's going to go back to, I think, the one-on-ones on defense. And if they make a few plays, it'll be a great game.
Well, one thing that happens a lot is I'm sure defenders, and this would happen in a lot of different sports in different ways, but you try to get a feel for, I guess, how much contact you can make with a receiver. And you see people all the time trying to push the envelope and hold and be as physical as they can with Gronk. Are you willing to take a flag early in the game, Peter, if you're up with him, just to sort of see where that line is with the officials?
I think you have to. You know, and what you find out is the more aggressive you are early, the refs are humans, and they aren't going to want to throw the flag continuously. And you saw that back, I'm going to date myself, you know, the Dolphins, the Sam Madisons and the Patrick Surtains about, you know, 10, 12 years ago. They were extremely physical. You know, I can remember when we played them, we actually, the receivers and the offense, they reduced their splits. They went in short motions to eliminate press coverage from occurring because they were so, they did such a good job of it, and they weren't concerned with getting a couple ticky-tack, 5-yard, you know, illegal hands kind of penalties and to set the tone.
I had a little fun with Drew Bennett at the end. I wanted to see if he could remember much about the game. So I'm going to ask you.
Oh, snap. This isn't going to end well for me.
Did you sack, not you, did your unit, did the defense sack Tom Brady in that game?
I'm going to say no.
Willie, what do you think?
Brady, just for the record, Brady was 21 for 41. So that's not, you know, that's reasonable success at 17 points against. So that's not, that was a pretty good performance by the defense. But I do not remember a sack. Maybe one.
Zero sacks. Okay. Did New England have 100 yards rushing on you guys combined?
I'll say no.
I say no.
96 yards.
Okay.
And to Willie's point, Tom Brady had 151 yards passing in the first quarter. Did he get 250 on you guys for the game or under?
Under.
That is correct.
Oh, under. Yeah, definitely.
201. You guys shut him down basically passing for three quarters. How did you do that?
Probably good DBs and good pass rush. I wish I could remember the game plan. You know, but if I remember correctly, it was Kevin Falk played tailback for him coming out of the backfield, the utility guy.
Yep.
They had him, and they had Antoine Smith was the other guy that they had.
Yep, Antoine Smith via the Bills, I think, correct?
That sounds right, yes. Yeah. And then later went to the Titans.
Yes, he did. He came, yep. You know, but the playoffs, you know, you'll see more matchups like that. I think as the weather turns a little bit, it becomes a little more challenging for offenses to throw the ball. And, you know, good teams deep in the playoffs, you know, they're there because they can stop people. So it doesn't surprise me looking back on it. But he's the Tom Brady's the epitome of a winner, and he finds a lot of different ways to get it done.
Peter, before we let you go, real quick, just your Oregon connection, you know, your observation of Marcus Mariota. What a great performance last week. Everybody's really intrigued to see what he can do this week.
You know, it's fun to watch those guys, and you know, it's, you know, there's an interest because of the alma mater, but there's also an interest of watching guys translate from being tab system guys in college and watch them transition. And you know, good talented players, I don't really care what system they come from. Some of them are a little maybe a little friendlier, you know, it happens a little bit sooner, but guys that work hard, guys that have the talent, and guys that want to be you know, real pros. He's done a great job of adapting his game and, you know, becoming a true pro football player.
Everything good with the family?
Everything's fantastic.
Awesome.
Everything's fantastic.
Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this as always. Since we haven't had a chance to tell you, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Happy New Year to you guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you do the same. That is Peter Sermon. Right. Always good to catch up with him, Louisville's defensive coordinator. And
good analytical mind. I've always liked picking his brain about football stuff.
I believe, and I was kind of sifting through the stats, I think he was one of the leading tacklers in that game for the Titans.
Well, people may or may not remember, depending how far you go back, but he was a good, solid inside linebacker for the very good, played right alongside Keith Bullock in the scheme, mm-hmm. right, for those 99 through 2003 teams. I think he came in maybe 2000. And before he tore his ACL, I think he was equipped to probably have another 5 or 6 productive years. Came back from the ACL, wasn't quite as good, and that sort of that ended his career earlier than I think it would have. But, man, he was a good, solid pro linebacker.
He had 7 tackles, and from what I can tell, that looks like it led the team in that game. Does that sound right?
Yeah, could have.
7 tackles?
Yeah.
How about that? 151 yards passing in the first
quarter.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that.
And finished with 201. Tom Brady.
The Titans were down 14-7, tied it up in the third quarter, and as he said, it was 14-all going to the fourth. I can't remember the last drive. I'm trying to think of, because they barely got in field goal range. It was like a 47-yard field goal by Vinatieri that put them ahead in the fourth quarter. So it's not like they gave up a lot.
No, that's right. It was, you know, they basically shut them down. It was a 46-yarder by Vinatieri, and that was 4:17 into the fourth. And remember, mm-hmm. the Titans, that drive, the drop, would have kept it alive, and that would have been interesting to see what the Titans were able to
right.
do if that drive was
And remember,
alive.
We pointed out yesterday that the Titans had a field goal blocked, an easy field goal mm-hmm. blocked in the game earlier.
That's right. Pick 6, that's next.